podcast is brought to you by the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group in London and with the kind permission of the Parkinson's UK charity. Welcome to Parkinson's Life Raft. Parkinson's Life Raft is designed to help you, whether you have Parkinson's or, like me, you care for someone who does. And whether you're having a good day or a bad one, we hope you'll feel connected to others who are in the same boat. Each podcast will invite a person or some people to give us a different perspective on living with Parkinson's. My name's Vivian Goldstein, and I'm a member of the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group here in London. My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 10 years ago. I then discovered the support group, and I've been an active member ever since.
Hello. Once again, we had an interesting talk at our last support group meetup, and I thought you might like to listen to it. Nick Ethgrave has been the Kensington and Chelsea local advisor working for Parkinson's UK for 15 years. For us, he has been a saint, a wonder, an angel, a legend, and a most wonderful font of all knowledge that you'd need to get any advice and help from anywhere regarding Parkinson's. If you have a question, Nick will have the answer. Sadly for us, but super for him, he has now moved to Devon, and he won't be looking after us anymore. In the meantime, Nick came to visit us at St Mary Abbott Centre and told us all about his role and how a local advisor can help you with problems and issues appertaining to your connection with Parkinson's. The sound is not pristine, but his warmth and knowledge shines through. And Nick was the one to write the music that you hear on this podcast, and he was the second interviewee on this podcast. So I present to you the multi-talented and joyous man that is Mr. Nick Ethgrave.
I am Nick Ethgrave, and I have been with Parkinson's Charity for 15 and a half years, and in the same role, although the job title has changed a couple of times, and it's just been an immense privilege to have done that for so long, got away with it for so long, some might say, and and I think I've learnt a little bit about Parkinson's over the years, and yeah, it's been an immense privilege. Many of you I know here, and I know there's a few people that may have turned up today because I was going to be here and because I'm going to be moving on and saying goodbye, and I cannot tell you how much that has touched me. That really has. Just, there's a few people I haven't seen for a year or two, and it's just put a massive smile on my face, massive, massive smile on my face. But I really just wanted to say a little bit about the role and moving forward, because the charity's gone through a couple of changes again over the last few months.
And thank you for listening. And do let me know who you'd like to hear from and the questions that are important to you. You can email me at plifraft@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, goodbye and take good care of yourselves. In producing this podcast, I'd like to thank Richard Smart and Emma Brudzinski for the idea, our chairman John Anflett, who always encourages an idea, Nick Ethgrave for the original music, Mike Bailey and the team at EPLS Design for the graphics and sound editing. This is a production by Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group with permission from the Parkinson's UK.
We are going to be out back in the community again, which is great news for people with Parkinson's. So although there isn't an immediate replacement for me, there will be soon, and obviously when that happens you will be all informed straight away, and that person, should you need them to visit you at home, that service will be available to you again. Now obviously workload has changed, we have different systems within our role, and we do a lot more administration. Not my favourite thing, but it's necessary. So it's not automatic in the way it was, that if somebody needed a conversation, that I would, or the new person would come and visit you. But certainly for certain things, if there's perhaps speech issues or tremor issues or cognitive issues or whatever, that service is definitely there for people to come and visit you, for somebody from us to come and visit you in your home and have that conversation and do whatever it is that needs doing. Everybody in the whole of the UK is covered by that service wherever you are. So if you're on the Isle of Man or Northern Ireland or deepest, darkest Wales or wherever, there is somebody in that role. So the service is to help you do that. And what we really do is to make sure people are getting the proper healthcare that they're entitled to and should be getting, and help you navigate that system if you aren't getting the healthcare you should be getting. We help with the obvious, perhaps the obvious things like benefits, welfare benefits. There's a lot of misinformation about benefits, and a lot of people don't think they're entitled to certain benefits. And let me assure you, you probably are entitled to certain welfare benefits. There are some non-means tested benefits, and we have an amazing success rate with that. I mean, I'm just one of many. I've been taught by some great people, and I've had great colleagues over the years. But there's one particular benefit, for example, called attendance allowance, which is for people over pension age, over state pension age, you have a disability and then have certain issues, perhaps, you know, eating, drinking, getting dressed, going to the loo, having a wash, having to get up at night and go to the loo and everything. And, you know, I was taught by somebody really good, one of my colleagues who's still in post, Angela Noel Myers, if you ever come across her, she's fantastic. And I've only ever had one turn down in 15 and a half years. It's a record I'm pretty impressed with. And I have to say, the one that got turned down, I told him not to apply for it because he was doing an hour's yoga on his bed in the morning. And I said, you know, it's not going to happen, but he wanted to do it. So that was the only one I've got turned down. But and I think if you get the, I think it's called the higher rate, not the enhanced rate, the higher rate. And as I said, it's non-medical, bless you. And it's £101 a week at the moment. So, you know, it's not to be sneezed at. Thank you. I'm available for all kinds of things. So that's just one of the things. But, you know, in London, you have some really good services. You have a service supported by Transport for London, which is a taxi card service, which gives you about 100 journeys a year of greatly reduced taxi journeys. These are the kind of things that we can help you apply for. The other things that can be, you know, different areas and different communities and stuff. Your housing is a massive one in London. We can try and help you with that, but there's, it's very tricky in London housing, especially if you haven't got one. So that's something we can try and help you with. Or if you've got an inappropriate housing situation. So that's something we will help you do. We act as advocates, but with a small A. I think that's probably a good way of putting it. We don't advise directly on medication. We're not trained to. I mean, I've got my yellow swimming ribbon and I'm very proud of it. That's about all I achieved at school. So I'm not qualified to be teaching, explaining about medication stuff, although I have a broad knowledge of what it does and how it does and why it does and everything and when it does. But I'm not qualified or anything to suggest what you should or shouldn't be taking. But I have a broad knowledge. But we also have the helpline service, which we are connected to. And I've just given my cards to somebody. Bear with me one second. So I have some business cards. So we have a helpline. I think it's manned from 9 till 7 during the week and maybe 9 or 10 till 2 on a Saturday. And the number is 0808-800-0303. I can give you that later. But on that, we have a load of advisors like myself, but they don't do what we call casework. So if I was to come to your house and help you apply for benefit or something, that would be some casework. Whereas what they would do, if you phoned them up and they said, my name's Fred Smith and I live in Kensington and I need some help doing something, they would then pass that on to me or the new advisor when they're in post. And then that advisor would contact you and do whatever needs doing. But on that, on the helpline, we do also have access to Parkinson's nurses. Now, those Parkinson's nurses don't have access to your medical records, so they can give general advice on all things Parkinson's, more medical than social, which is much more what I do. they can't change or anything like that your medications, but obviously if there was a big red flag, they would have that medical knowledge that I don't have. But that they are a great asset, you know, as I'm sure pretty much everybody in this room knows. It's pretty tricky getting hold of a consultant or a Parkinson's nurse. They're tremendously overworked. And so that service is a really, really good kind of holding thing for you. You know, some people can phone up, they're, you know, a bit lost with their medication or whatever. And, you know, the Parkinson's nurse can just guide you through what you need to do, and it might be as simple as, no, you need to phone your GP, or you need to phone 111, or you need to phone 999. It can be that basic sometimes, but you know, that's a really, really good service, and that works. They aren't on the end of the phone answering the phones on the helpline, but if you phone the helpline and ask for a nurse, you'll then be referred to and get a call back. Along with this,
can I just chip in there before you leave?
Oh, I was on the roll then.
We had David Dexter here, the director of research.
Yes.
Oh, a month ago, something like that. Mm. And he encouraged us greatly on this front by telling us that the UK are going to put a lot more money into funding the nurses throughout the UK.
That's
right. Not just in terms of funding the first year, which they do at the moment. Beyond that, I think possibly a second year. And they're going to put money into actually encouraging nurses to go into the Parkinson's field rather than any other. That's what's left. That's why there aren't enough.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's positive news on that.
Although I tell nurses when I see them, Parkinson's is the way forward.
Yeah.
It's a great great community, brilliant client base. It is, it absolutely is. But that's really good news. I wasn't aware of that, but that has been the struggle and is the struggle, is getting Parkinson's nurses in post, especially in London. For those of you who visit Charing Cross, it was at the beginning of the year, the in-hospital Parkinson's nurse retired. And the new Parkinson's nurse is starting in January. So there's a classic example of it's taken 12 months to get somebody in post from that person retiring. She seems lovely. Her name is Elizabeth, I believe.
Yep.
But I haven't met her yet.
We picked that one up in the carers group. Somebody pushed it out and it's gone out in the carers newsletter.
So that's great. She seems really lovely.
Yeah.
So the two kinds of nurses that there are available to you guys, are, depending on where you live, is there's the hospital-based nurses, which can only stay at hospital and do client work there. And then there's some community Parkinson's nurses, and depending on which area you're in, they can come and do home visits. And that's a service which we as an organisation especially promoted and helped fund, actually. One of the boroughs I've worked in for many years is Richmond. And because Richmond doesn't have a hospital, where there's a Parkinson's nurse, or where there isn't a Parkinson's nurse, there isn't a hospital in Richmond. So those are the kind of places where we were adamant with the local health authorities that there needed to be a community nurse, and that was very successful. And the same with Westminster, where there isn't a hospital in Westminster, but there is a home visiting community Parkinson's nurse. Where there is a hospital, it's a little bit trickier, bit of a sore point in this group with Kensington and Chelsea not having a community nurse, which you absolutely should have and used to have, especially as there is a hospital where the nurse isn't a specialist nurse in just Parkinson's. She does neurology. She's fantastic, by the way. Amida Adams, if you don't know her, she's really lovely. But she's also part-time, so, you know, there's massive gap in services there. And, you know, we, along with many members of this group and others, have been campaigning for a replacement community nurse in this area. But sadly, to no avail so far, but don't give up hope is, I think, the message. Kind of lost my track, really, but I think...
I interrupted you.
That's okay. But, I mean, I think... the message really is, if you're not sure, call your local advisor and we will guide you as best we can and answer your questions. And if we can't answer your question, we'll find out who can, you know. And I think that really, to a large degree, sums up the role. There's lots of stuff we can do and there's some stuff we can't do. But if we can't do it, we'll find out the person who can. You know, I mean, in the 15 years I've been doing this, I've had a few challenges with clients. I think my... One of my proudest ones was a client, very elderly client, came to me and said, when I go, I want to be buried where my dad is. And I went, okay, where's that? And she went, I have no idea. That was my challenge. And it took a while, and it was pure luck. It was pure luck, but I phoned around some cemeteries. And there was one cemetery I phoned, and she found this number in a book. And she went, I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I found this number. And I went, okay, I'm going to run with that. And so I phoned up a load of funeral homes, cemeteries. And I phoned up one, and I said, I've got this number. And the woman that answered the phone was covering for somebody else from another cemetery where that number was.
Wow.
So I happened to phone the wrong cemetery on the right day where somebody who shouldn't have been working there was. And, you know, so I was quite chuffed with that one. But, you know, that's not the most ridiculous thing. You know, we get asked lots of crazy things to do, and you know we'll do our best for you. We'll absolutely do our best. You know, as I say, I've been in London for 15 years, and it's been such a privilege working with this community, and also you know my colleagues. They do a fantastic job. We have a good knowledge. We have a good knowledge, a broad knowledge. You know, the people in in the team. There's a nurse. There is a OIC. That's me. There is, somebody who's worked in social care. You know, just a broad spectrum of people. So there's a broad spectrum of knowledge, and we, you know, we share that knowledge between us. So that's the advisor service in a very small nutshell, and a little bit about the helpline service. Another addition to the helpline service is we have a care specialist, and as things go on and things change, care issues can be very challenging, and especially within social services, the care system, and who pays for what and how that's paid and everything. And we have a specialist who's been part-time for many years, who's very, very knowledgeable guy, but we've just got a new person starting any day now who is a senior care advisor, apparently, and their knowledge is extraordinary, and they do all the number crunching and everything. They know exactly what you should be paying, what you shouldn't be paying, what the state should be paying, all of those kind of things. So that service is available, and the best way to access that is either through the helpline or through the advisor service, and we'd refer you on. Then we also have benefit and employment advisors, and they've got some knowledge way above my pay grade. And with the benefit system, we will help you try to access benefits, and if you get turned down, we will help you with the reconsiderations, and that's where our job ends up. And we're pretty successful at that. I don't know the exact figures, but a lot of the PIP applications, which is the benefit for people with disabilities under pension age, which is becoming trickier and trickier to get, they're turning most of them down at kind of the first hurdle. And then people like myself will guide them through the second hurdle. And a lot of those are then getting put through. Then there's a third hurdle that they don't tell you about, which I didn't even know about until I spoke to the BEAs, the benefits advisors. And that is that before you go to appeal, apparently there's a triage system where somebody else looks at it and think, have we really got a chance of not winning this? As in the DWP, the government, think, have we really got no chance? And a lot of those are then getting approved in favour of the person with Parkinson's. But if it then goes to appeal, that's where the benefit and employment advisor comes in, and they are really, really knowledgeable, really dedicated, and excellent at their job, and extremely busy at the moment. And they've had some immense success. There was something came out a few months ago about some of the cases they've won and the impact they've had, and people have been losing out on thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds in benefits. But there was one in particular where, don't quote me on this recording, if I remember rightly, there was a couple, and both of them were disabled, And both of them try to access benefits through the government website. And the government website gave them completely incorrect information. And luckily this was picked up by somebody. I believe it was a benefit and employment advisor. And to cut a long story short, they were missing out on £15,000 worth of benefits a year that the government website was telling them they weren't entitled to. So it's always, you know, if you're getting turned down for something or you're not sure, call us and we can do a bit more of the grunt work. I mean, that was a particularly fantastic success story. So that's a little bit about the service. Again, going on, just trying to rack my brains, things like blue badges, we will help you get pretty successful at those. I'm seeing a few nods here and there. Over the years, we've had some. They are becoming trickier to get, especially in London, with the congestion zone and then the new congestion zone. And they do go for a silly amount of money on the black market. So they are getting harder and harder to get. And we have had meetings all up and down the country talking to disability groups, but also local councils, etc., saying, why are you turning down so many people with Parkinson's? This isn't good enough. And they are listening. Saying they're doing anything about it, but they're listening, so that's great. But you know, I'm not one of these people that likes to take no for an answer from government agencies and things like that. I tend to them just to say yes in the first instance. It makes everybody's life easier. But there's been a couple of times where they've said no, and I've fought against it, and then they've said no again, and then you've got to bring in the heavy troops, and that can be the local councillor, it can be the MP, or it can be, you know, whoever you can find. But yeah, we can usually find a way through, you know. Why are you grinning so much?
because I know. You don't, I know exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. I mean, that's just me, but I don't think I'm you know, unusually in that. So most of us don't like to take no for an answer when we're fighting for you guys and what you're entitled to or what you should be entitled to. So call us. That's my message, is call us and we will absolutely do our best by you. And if we can't, we'll find out who can. I think really that just, in my experience, sums up the service that we offer. On a personal note...
I just
not
again.
Here we go.
Would you like to hold that
for you? No, I'm fine.
I'm holding her hand out.
I'm fine. On a personal note.
On a personal note, it's just, yeah, it's been an absolute privilege. I know I've visited lots of you in this room, in your homes. Some I haven't. Some have better biscuits than others, I have to say.
don't shame us.
Yeah, and I will. I mean, it's been the last, on a personal note, not visiting you guys over the last 2 or 3 years has been tough for me and my colleagues, because we've really missed that, really, really missed that. And some people have decided to leave because of that or because of other, you know, various other reasons. But not doing that part of the job, you know, did change the, you know, COVID really changed the job dramatically. But so getting out and about in the community is something that we absolutely love doing, and it's really good that we're going to be out and about doing it again. And it's a shame in some ways that I won't be doing it here, but I'll be doing it in sunny Devon, or very wet Devon, to be honest with you. And I'm really looking forward to it. And at the moment, if you're not sure who to go to, where to go to, what to do, come to me. That's the easiest thing to do at the moment, is come to me and I'll navigate you in, that steer you in the right direction. And then when a new person is in post, and if there's a named person, which I suspect there'll be a named person in post very soon, probably not called Nick. Could be, though. Then I'm sure through the newsletter or whatever, you know, that information will be passed on to you, and it will be on our website. But just on our website, I haven't mentioned our website. We've got a pretty good website, I have to say. I was talking to this somebody earlier on. Our website, which is www.parkinsons.org.uk, has got a fantastic amount of information on it, from newly diagnosed people and, you know, some of the information you might want there, right through to end of life stuff even, you know, but everything in between. And there is a lot of really good videos, YouTube clips and exercise things that you can do in the comfort of your own home, in your own armchair or whatever, that are approved by us, that we know that people who know what they're talking about have done. So some really good exercise classes, you know, gentle seated exercise. I mean, you have the fantastic Yumi doing seated Pilates here. But, you know, if you wanted to do that every day, which could be a suggestion of something to try and do every day, it's a bit of exercise. There's loads of stuff there. There's also the publications we do, and I bought something for somebody else. I think we still sell umbrellas. but this is something I talked about last time, and this is important on many different reasons. So on our website, you can order this stuff. Some of it's printed. Some of it I just get delivered to Richard and he delivers it to various hospitals. He does a grand job doing that. Bless him. But we do loads and loads of printed information, whether it's little leaflets about claiming benefits or information all about the different kinds of drugs or foot problems or eye problems or skin problems or whatever it is. But we also do this, which is what I talked about this last time I came. Now, we have a little card there. Again, if you're not sure, give me a shout. This is a little card that you can just keep in your wallet that says, I have Parkinson's and I have to take my medications to treat my Parkinson's. And there is a story I still remember from the Olympics when they were held in this country. On day one of the Olympics, a guy with Parkinson's was arrested and thrown in jail for having Parkinson's, basically. And he had this car, but he'd left it in his car. He went off down the road to watch the cycling and was a little bit wobbly and a little bit shaky. And the police thought he was drunk or could be a terrorist with Parkinson's, maybe, I don't know. And arrested him and slung him in jail. And, you know, the end result of that was not only the apologies, which he was entitled to, and they offered him compensation. He said, what I'd really like you to do is to go on some Parkinson's awareness courses, which I thought was fantastic of the guy. But he didn't have this card, so that's a little card. This is a little booklet, the same size and similar looking to loads of booklets we do. There's a really good one about all the medications, for example. I think it's called The Drug Treatments of Parkinson's. Now, you can download these off our website. You can print them off our website, but you can also order them and you can get them sent to you, or you can get boxes of them sent to you, as Richard will adhere to. This one is about going to hospital. And the reason I brought this up, because this has been a bit of a thing around here and in lots of places, about people not getting their medications on time when they're in hospital. Now, this comes in a little pack. All of this stuff comes in a pack. So you get a card, you get a little book. What you also get is these Get It On Time stickers, which we, again, and we've been doing this as an organisation, banging against doors for as long as I've been involved, trying to get hospital staff, hospital ward staff, to understand the importance of people with Parkinson's getting their medications on time. One of the big challenges is turnover of staff. You can train every single person in the hospital on a Monday, and on a Tuesday it's going to be a completely different load of people. So, I mean, I'm not making excuses, but that is just the fact of it. So if you get one of these packs, it's the wash going into hospital packs, wash bag packs. Get loads of little stickers. What you also get, these are awesome, you can stick them above your bed, laminated little clocks. Is one I prepared earlier. Brilliant idea, really simple. If you're going into hospital, obviously there's lots of preparation you need to do, but if you get one of these packs, this might just make your life a little bit easier. You can put on here when you're taking your medications. What I would also say, if you're going into hospital, be prepared, have your medications with you. hold on to them for dear life if you can. Tell them that you can self-medicate, and if you're not able to self-medicate, but you have a partner, carer, friend, relative, or whatever with you who can help you self-medicate, again, try to hold on to your medication, because it's just the way it is, right or wrong, that, you know, the ward staff are very busy, and if they've got your medications, you then getting your medication when you need it is going to be a lot trickier, because they want to do it when they do the rounds on the ward. You know, it makes sense to them, but it doesn't make sense to you, and it's not in your best interest. And then you also get one of those snazzy little hospital wash bags. I know, calm down, people, calm down. they're great, you know, they're really great. I mean, I can remember last time I mentioned them, I think one of the nurses was there, said, oh, can you send me a load? And I think I sent the whole stock. I think that was St. George's, actually. But have a look on the website for this kind of stuff. There's loads of really useful, practical stuff you can access from us, you know. And if I didn't mention it, all of this stuff, there's no charge for any of this stuff. You know, we're a charity, we completely rely on people's donations and everything, but as has been said in this group, I know, more than once, you know, we want you more than we want your money. So, you know, if you need any of this stuff, please order it. If you're not sure how to order it, call the helpline or call me. I will do my best to help you.
Thank you once again, Nick, for explaining so many things to us and giving us the confidence that there is help out there if we ask for it. We will miss you desperately here in London, and we wish you the very best of times with your new role and new clients in Devon.
And thank you for listening. Do let me know who you'd like to hear from and the questions that are important to you. You can email me at pliferaft@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, goodbye and take good care of yourselves. In producing this podcast, I'd like to thank Richard Smart and Emma Brzezinski for the idea, our chairman John Amphlett, who always encourages an idea, Nick F. Grave for the original music, Mike Bailey and the team at EPLS Design for the graphics and sound editing. This is a production by Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group with permission from Parkinson's UK.
Please note that unless otherwise stated, the people speaking in this podcast are not experts. They are describing their personal experience of Parkinson's disease and ways they have personally found helpful in dealing with it. You must consult your own medical advisors before acting on any suggestions made in this podcast. This applies to experts as well as non-experts. Nothing in this podcast is to be treated as advice, and no liability whatsoever is accepted by the makers or participants for any steps taken in reliance on any part of its contents.